In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
I'm Presbyterian. Boy, that's down the middle of the road, folks, in all fairness. I mean, Seventh-day Adventist, I don't know about. I just don't know about.
Whether we're more concerned about the adults than about the children, that's a huge question. And the West, the whole West, has decided that we care more about adults than we care about children.
And unfortunately, this is all too common in American evangelical pulpits. They begin with what they believe is plausible sounding, and then they hunt for passages, and then they read their doctrines into them rather than read out what God's Word reveals.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
You hear this quite often from young parents. They'll say, look, being a parent is difficult. It is a full-time job, and it really does take it all out of you. But you'll often hear, I need some me time. And mothers, especially in this culture, are encouraged to take that me time almost as though they could go to the spa or go on a little vacation or a weekend trip and forget that they had kids for a while. It's the myth of maternal me time. We're going to be responding to it here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 3rd of November. Ilona Musselman will be joining us. We'll talk about that myth of parental me time. She's written about it in The Federalist in an article titled, It's Okay for Babies to Swallow Me Time. Then Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us. The Episcopal Church has installed a new presiding bishop. Catherine Jeffords Shorey is out, and the new bishop is in. Now, there's been a lot of news about him being the first African-American bishop. That seems rather irrelevant. Will it be an improvement theologically over Catherine Jeffords Shorey, who has provided in her time, she's presided in her time, over what can only be called a real rift between the Episcopal Church in America and the rest of worldwide Anglicanism, or at least a big portion of worldwide Anglicanism? We'll talk with Bishop Keith Ackerman about that in a few minutes. Then the last half hour of the program is devoted to our ongoing series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, responding to evangelical cliches. Today, the cliche is, there is no perfect church. Ilona Musselman joins us to talk about the myth of parental me time. She's a stay-at-home mother of two children. She's editor and contributor to the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and she is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, It's Okay for Babies to Swallow Me Time. Anna, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much.
You're the mother of two small children. I know that me time is one of those things that the entire culture pushes you toward. But you say near the end of your article for The Federalist that you're growing up rather than sacrificing your true identity. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's interesting because just recently I was listening to a podcast on education for children, and there was a discussion about how education shouldn't be child-centered in the sense of letting the child do whatever they want and have their own way in everything, because that's not educating a person for the life of a person. And they were talking on that about how in real life what people need to do is care for others and take care of others and give up their own will. And so you respect a child by requiring them to do that because that's real life. And I think motherhood kind of amps that kind of thing up. You know, it gives a person even more opportunities to do what life is, which is helping others and not getting your own way all the time. In a sense, just a chance to do something that's one of the hardest things people can do. You know, we admire sports heroes and other people who do tough things, hard things, and motherhood is definitely tough sometimes.
So what is usually meant when we hear that very often used phrase, me time, when it comes to motherhood and parenthood?
I think it's generally, people talk about it as a chance to get away from your children and, I would say, kind of pretend for a little while that you're not a parent. You know, have a break and experience life like you did back before you had the child. And sometimes those activities can be, you know, great activities, fun things, refreshing things. But I do think that there's, it can be a negative thing when the desire for me time is the desire to live as if you didn't have children, because that kind of thing will never be satisfied. You're always going to have to come back to snotty noses and little people who want you. And if your focus is on, oh, you know, I want to be able to enjoy myself as if I didn't have these kids, you won't be enjoying the wonderful things about your children.
So really, it is a kind of a very soft way of denying reality. Once you're a mother, once you're a father, things have really changed, and there is no going back. And if you're seeking that in me time, you're looking for the wrong thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think that, you know, of course, we can jump to the opposite extreme and suggest that, you know, somebody who is a mother is only a good mother if she devotes herself completely to her children. And, but of course, you know, a woman is still a woman. She's still a wife. She still, you know, has many other vocations. She's an entire person. But having children, I think, adds to the fullness of who you are. It doesn't have to take away from your identity.
So talk about this in kind of real life terms. Someone says, I know what you're talking about, but sometimes I got to get away from the kids. What are we talking about in real life terms? That is taking that time, not so much for me, but time to, maybe you'd say it, to be yourself apart from your kids.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's very valid to point out that as human beings, you know, we need rest. And sometimes we do need to have the rest of being away from our children. And I think for me, something that has really been helpful for me is to realize and pay attention to what actually gives me rest and what actually leaves me feeling rested. And for me, and I think for many people, creating something is much more rejuvenating than consuming. There's a tendency that I have sometimes if I'm very tired to say, oh, I just want to watch something on Netflix, or I want to vegetate in some way. But I'm realizing that that sort of thing doesn't actually give me fuel to go back and enjoy my children afterwards. That what is really helpful for me is to be creative. And in my case, that's usually writing something. And I realize that that's, it's a very valuable thing for me to be able to fulfill that part of me and carve out some time to spend being a creative writer.
But that doesn't sound as much like getting away from the kids or kind of trying to relive your pre-child freedom as it is simply continuing to do the things that one does before you had the kids. You see the distinction there?
Mm-hmm.
You like to write before you had the kids. Don't rob yourself of the opportunity to do it when you can find the time, rather than I want to pretend no kids are around.
Right. Yeah, and I think it would be counterproductive to my own happiness if I said, well, you know, because my writing theoretically could add something of value to the world, you know, I should look at these children as hindrances, and I should demand that, you know, my husband figures out a way to give me, you know, 6 hours of writing time a week or a day. But at the same time, I think my writing is good. And so my job now as a mother and someone who likes to write is to figure out how to keep a little bit of that going, how to incorporate both things in my life in a way that is helpful to me, you know, keeps me rested and doesn't hurt my children, doesn't take away time that they need, but that provides balance.
Talk about the pendulum swing. You talk about it in your article between parenting is wonderful, and I'm going to go crazy if I have to spend if I don't get a few minutes away from the baby. Talk about that pendulum swing there.
Oh, it's sort of daily. I think in my case, a lot of it depends on how much sleep I've had. You know, if I'm feeling rested and so on, you know, I love being home with my children. It's a lot of fun. They're very cute. I get to see all kinds of adorable antics, you know, and hold a snuggly baby. And then sometimes all of a sudden it can just feel like too much. You know, I am giving too much to these kids. I never get a moment to myself, and it's just hard, and I'm just worn out. And it can feel just overwhelming, like I really can't handle this anymore. And that's when I realize that I've pushed a little too far. I haven't had the rest that I need. And sometimes I do just need physical rest. I just need more sleep. You know, and it can be hard to fit that in, but, you know, I can work towards that. But sometimes that is the sign to me that what I actually need is a little bit of mental and spiritual rest. I need to create something. I need to read the Bible. I need to go to church and pray. You know, I need something else that is separate from the children.
You say that you found some encouragement in the rather unlikely place, a Washington Post article titled "What Gen X Parents Need to Learn About Taking Care of Themselves First." What did you find there in that? It didn't sound like a really promising title there, just more of the same me time. But what did you find in that article?
Well, in that article, the focus was on how parents need to realize that their children don't need them 24/7. They don't need to completely devote themselves to their children in an obsessive way, that they should be looking for little moments, little things that are restful and rejuvenating, you know, rather than saying, well, you know, unless I can go have a, you know, a wonderful trip to the Caribbean with, you know, hours in the spa, I get nothing. But instead, that parents should, you know, have little moments, have a cup of tea, go for a jog by yourself, you know, whatever the little moments in your day are. And that, and this author suggested three categories that I thought were helpful, is having, I think it was physical rest, and the two that I thought were most striking was the mental rest and spiritual rest. I thought it was very helpful that the author pointed this out, and that the author was reminding parents that child rearing, you know, is something that doesn't have to be obsessive. You know, we can be here to serve our children and take care of them, but we don't have to run around micromanaging every second of their lives and sort of burning our own out at the same time.
So as you said, the mental rest, we've talked about physical, but the mental rest isn't always turning the mind off, but maybe even turning the mind on to something that is different than the immediate needs of the child.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that that has to do with recognizing, you know, what humans are. You know, we are people who are made, I think, to be creative and to think about the spiritual as well as the material reality, and to be engaged in an active intellectual and mental way. And as mothers, we need that just like any other human, and it's good to remember that.
The spiritual rest there, what is your insight here? I mean, this is something that I picture Anna Ilona Mussman sitting in a church pew, but the kids are still there, and you probably know better than anybody that it's not always the most, it's not the atmosphere most conducive to paying close attention.
Yep, I know. I'm afraid that I used to pay much better attention to sermons before I had children, and I try now, but yeah, with two little people there, they're very distracting. And that's, I think, one of those situations where I'm so glad for a Lutheran understanding of the fact that we go to divine service and God serves us, and He is, you know, He's God, He's amazing, He can work despite my children, He can work through my children, He can work despite my inattention, and it's a very wonderful and restful thing to realize that in church, you know, He works, and He works through His Word. He is giving me His grace through the sacraments, and I'm there to receive, and it doesn't depend on me doing anything right, me doing anything perfectly. But it's all a gift from Him, and it is a chance as a mother who often is serving other people to be cared for.
So it sounds like the upshot here is that we need to be aware of the myth behind me time, parental me time. If what is meant there is that I'm kind of a free single person with no responsibilities who just so happens to be babysitting my own kids, and I have to do it 24/7, so I need a break.
I like the way you put that, because I think a lot of people do think that way, perhaps unconsciously, and perhaps that's why there can be a lot of resentment towards the fact that children are taking up your valuable time that you really should be spending, you know, in other directions. I've heard people sympathize with me about the fact that I have small children. You know, a hairdresser once commented on how terrible it would be to have children over a span of years, because then you'd have to parent for so many years out of your life, which, again, I think is a very odd understanding of what it means to be human, this idea that we all should be these autonomous little individual units going about and doing our own thing and doing what we want to, rather than part of what makes us human is to be in community and to be in relationships with each other. And so as a mom, part of what I do as a human being is have this relationship with my children.
Finally then, what message would you like to send mothers of young children about me time?
Oh, I suppose I would say enjoy the children and pay attention to the children, enjoy their cuteness, but you know, don't fall into the trap of thinking that, oh, that's the baby coughing, speaking of babies, don't fall into the trap of thinking that you can't be a person if you're around the child, and at the same time, don't forget that you are a person and you do need some breaks, you do need some rest and refreshment.
Anna Ilona Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of two children. She's editor and contributor to the blog Sister, Mother, Daughter, Wife, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled It's Okay for Babies to Swallow Me Time. You'll find a link to both her blog and to The Federalist article at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Anna, thanks for giving us a little time this afternoon.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
When we come back, Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us. We're going to talk about the installation of a new presiding bishop in the Episcopal Church. Stay tuned. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity, Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.